Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the 122nd Psalm. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, dearly beloved of God, from your study of the Bible, or perhaps a study class that you participated in times past, you probably know the answer to this question. Of all the 66 books of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, which is the largest? It's the book of Psalms, right? It contains 150 poems or hymn prayers. Luther wrote concerning Psalms, "It's the prayer book of all the saints. Every saint, no matter what their station or situation in life may be, will find words in the Psalms which seem to be written just for them." As if the psalm writers, when they wrote their psalms, did it for their personal spiritual comfort and guidance. Explains why God's saints down through the centuries of time have considered Psalms one of, if not their personal favorite Bible book. Because in each one of the Psalms, we're able to mine golden nuggets of godly wisdom and comfort for our walk of faith in the world. Whether it be David's Shepherd, Psalm 23, or his penitential Psalm 51, where he petitions the Lord to blot out his iniquities for his mercy's sake, or the glorious praise Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, forget not all his benefits." All of them are gems for Christians. Now, one detail of the book of Psalms you may have noticed in your reading of it is that there's a block of Psalms about three-fourths of the way through that has the heading written over them, "A Song of Ascent." I'm referring to Psalms 120 to Psalm 134. It's thought that this particular grouping of 15 Psalms were used by the bands of Jewish pilgrims, which they sang and chanted together as they ascended up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at one of their great annual feasts. And included in this group of 15 Psalms is the one that we've chosen for our text for today, Psalm 122, in which is found also a Bible verse embroidered on yet another of the tapestries hanging on the walls downstairs. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" So we ask for the Spirit's blessing upon our consideration of this psalm under the theme, "Come, let us go up, let us ascend to the house of the Lord to unite our hearts and voices together in thanking our gracious Lord and in encouraging our fellow believers." Now, I mentioned how the people of God, they sang various psalms apparently as they were traveling up to Jerusalem. And that is meant to be taken literally. They were actually traveling up because the city was situated at a high elevation compared to the other topography of the land, 2,500 feet above sea level, which explains why our psalm author David speaks of Jerusalem as a city that's built on a hill where the tribes of the Lord go up to thank and praise him. And also why the Bible records in the New Testament how when Jesus was a 12-year-old youth, he went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with his parents. And as an adult in his ministry, he went up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at the temple. I mention this simply to encourage all of us to, you know, think of it in this way. When we come to church on Sunday morning, as we walk up the front steps into the entryway, and as we walk through the doorway into the sanctuary to prepare for worship, to think of it as a going up into the very presence of our Lord to praise his name in concert with our fellow believers for all that the Lord in love has accomplished for us through his son Jesus. Our Psalm of Ascent 122 highlights a particular blessing for which we have reason to thank him together here at the Lord's house, and that is his work of uniting us in a tight-knit spiritual family. Just as the earthly city of Jerusalem is built on a hill, it's closely compacted, all the administrative buildings and the homes of the citizens, the structures are all in solid rows with no ugly gaps. Even so, the spiritual Jerusalem, the Church of Christ, is a city where the citizens or Christians are united by the tight bond of their Holy Spirit given faith in Jesus, and where they enjoy all the blessings that Jesus articulated when he went into the synagogue at Nazareth that day that we heard about earlier. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus was using word pictures here to describe those precious gospel blessings of forgiveness for our sins, healing medicine he applies to our souls in the gospel, the soothing cure that he administers to us, to our consciences, comfort for our hearts that get bruised and scraped by life's trials and problems, and a deep down spiritual joy in that freedom he obtained for us from the dungeon of death and the horrors of hell, so that nothing can separate us from God's love. So the psalmist urges us to view, for these reasons, the opportunities the Lord affords us for expressing our thanks to him corporately as often as we ascend into his presence here at his house with happiness of heart. Of course, a lot of other scriptures where the Lord encourages us to do that. The bright reading from Hebrews that we heard earlier. Let us consider each other to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. Two other gems from the book of Psalms 111. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 149, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints at his house. And might also think, dear friends, of the Bible stories that the Holy Spirit included in the divine record for our instruction and encouragement in this whole matter of corporate worship, in which he calls our attention to faithful men and women of God who went up into the temple regularly to praise the Lord with joy. Anna the prophetess, for example, that aged widow Never left the temple, but served God night and day, giving God thanks and speaking about him to those who were waiting for the Redeemer to arrive. The disciples who, on Ascension Day, after Jesus went up into the heavens, went up to Jerusalem and were continually in the temple praising God. And then, of course, think about this. Jesus himself, as we noted earlier, made it a regular habit to travel up to Jerusalem to worship his Father during the religious festivals. And in our gospel, we also heard when he came to his hometown of Nazareth, he entered the synagogue, as was his custom. And think about this, how we praise Jesus, don't we? Because primarily he's our Lord and Savior, who came from heaven to redeem us. Think about this. He's also, in this respect, our blessed example that we want to take as our pattern in our worship lives, going up to the house of the Lord regularly, just as our Lord and Savior Jesus did. And when it isn't possible, because of illness, physical limitations, distance factors, maybe we live in a place there's no true teaching church, we can still go up, can't we? We go up into the house of the Lord, metaphorically speaking, at home, emulating the early Christians who, because of persecutions that they faced, assembled for worship in their homes privately or even in the catacombs. I also wanted to mention, provide a caution at this place in the sermon that we need to guard against as Christians, especially as we're coming out of the pandemic, COVID. Guard against COVID conditioning, getting used to the idea of staying at home on Sunday morning when we could be joining in with our fellow believers at church. But also for our comfort and encouragement, we can't go for whatever reason, to know indeed that the Lord delights in, is pleased to see, and promises to richly bless his believers wherever they assemble around his word for worship, even if it be two or three in Jesus' name. Another Bible truth the Lord wants us to keep before our mind's eye when we go up into his presence to thank him at his house is that it serves as a great encouragement spiritually to our fellow believers. The psalmist alludes to this in the last part of the psalm, where he writes, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." We can understand why the Lord exhorts us here in this way to pray for our fellow Christians, for our fellow believers in the Lord, for their spiritual peace and encouragement in their own lives, asking the Lord to prosper them spiritually in their faith lives through the Word of God as they gather at his house. Why that is so important when we consider that we are living in a hostile environment of an ungodly world in which temptations are thickening to be drawn away from Jesus and from the fellowship of his believers. We acknowledge that in the opening hymn 901 in the fourth stanza, where we sang, "Thou my faith increase and quicken, let me keep thy gift divine, howsoe'er temptations thicken. May thy word still o'er me shine and be my guiding light all through my life." Among the thickening temptations that we face, by thickening we mean they are becoming more and more numerous and intense and severe as time goes on, as the day of the Lord draws near, to grow lackadaisical in our worship lives, and to view the opportunities that the Lord provides us for worship together at his house as a humdrum thing and as not essential, rather than as the treasures that they truly are. Or to become anesthetized to the seriousness of sin. You know, the one reason why Christ our Savior wants us to come to his house regularly, faithfully, is to hear the stern message of God's holy law that rebukes us for our sins, by which he reminds us of what we deserve for them, his temporal and eternal punishment, lest we begin to think of sin lightly and to suppose the evil to be not so great, and then therefore not to appreciate as we ought the things that God our Savior did for us to cleanse us from our sin. Another temptation, and this is also one that's a big one, is to doubt that the Lord will forgive us our sins as we come to him with penitent hearts. To doubt that he will shower us with his blessings of grace through word and sacrament that we receive at his temple. He bids us, therefore, to come into his presence often to receive from him the wonderful assurance in the gospel that as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him, and as far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. To hear that wonderful, blessed gospel comfort on a regular basis that we so much crave and need in our lives as Christians. So that's why our Savior so winsomely and lovingly encourages us to gather joyfully at his house, to say all through the duration of our sojourn as pilgrims through the world, as we head towards that day when we will finally ascend to the high elevation city, the New Jerusalem above. A couple more gospel nuggets from the Psalms, Psalm 84. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Psalm 26. Better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And our Psalm 122. Again, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We conclude then this morning with a prayer. We're grateful, dear Savior, that you established your church on earth, where you bless us with love and mercy through your word and sacraments. We are grateful that your word is proclaimed among us in its truth and purity. We pray that the Holy Spirit may fill the members of St. Paul, that it may be said of us, they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, to the fellowship, to the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Fill us with an abiding love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Make our congregation a power for good in our community, and bless our efforts to bring your saving gospel to the unchurched. In your name, amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Uphold with your spirit.